The verbs alone tell you a lot. The verbs that reporters use to describe the rise in sexually transmitted diseases in California include skyrocketing, raging, and breaking records. STDs are indeed on the rise, with records broken for three straight years now. The charts that track the numbers by year slant sharply upward in some cases, and it's more than just one STD that is rising. Let's break down the numbers and talk about causes and responses. Dr. Heidi Bauer is the STD Control Branch Chief at the California Department of Public Health and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Dr. Bauer, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
By now, you're probably getting tired of looking at all the verbs that the reporters are using, but the fact is, I mean, it is an increase that is noticeable.
Absolutely, absolutely. So in California, last year, 2017, we saw over 300,000 cases of syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia reported to the state. And this is a significant increase over the prior year, and this is a trend that we've been seeing for about, as you mentioned, about 3 years now, with these starkly rising increases.
So 300,000 last year compared to how many the year before and the year before?
Oh, I'd have to pull those numbers to give you the exact numbers, but we're seeing almost double-digit percent increases in some cases. And so, for example, gonorrhea is going up 10 to 15% per year for about 5 years. Chlamydia is the most common reportable bacterial STD, and that is already very high, and it goes up usually more around 3 to 5% per year. And some of that is driven by increasing screening, and some of that is driven by increasing transmission for chlamydia. But I'll tell you, the one that we're most concerned about is syphilis. And certainly looking at Northern California, many counties in Northern California had not seen any cases of syphilis, let alone syphilis in babies, until the last few years. And we're starting to see more and more counties report cases of syphilis in reproductive age women and syphilis in pregnant women and also in babies. And that's what's got us really concerned.
So there were counties, you're saying, where there just were no cases at all?
Oh, absolutely. Some of the rural Northern California counties for many years really were not having to deal with syphilis at all. It had been, you know, largely eliminated, and at the lowest rate at around the year 2000 for the whole state of California. And then it started creeping up, but mostly in urban areas. And it's really only been the last few years that we've seen it expand throughout the state. Started really in the Central Valley of California, but has since traveled northward, as it were. And I haven't seen the Oregon data, but my understanding is they are also reporting some increases in syphilis throughout Oregon.
That was the next question, was whether California is unique or whether this is happening in other states at the same time.
It is unfortunately happening across the country, and CDC has not released the 2017 data. I think they're expecting to do that around August or September, but they have presented some of the provisional data, and California does not look unique at all. It's really across the country.
So STDs rising in California, certainly, but around the rest of the country, too. Dr. Heidi Bauer is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the chief of the STD Control Branch of the California Department of Public Health. You can join the conversation on the exchange, phone calls, emails, questions, comments, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. So it sounds like at the beginning of this century, there was kind of a bottoming out. Was it in all or just syphilis?
Syphilis and gonorrhea rates were relatively low. We didn't start looking at chlamydia as a reportable condition in public health until about 1990, and it became nationally reportable. And what we discovered about chlamydia very quickly was that it's very common. And so when it first became reportable, it was immediately the number one most common reportable infectious disease. And since then, I think as data systems have improved and screening has improved and reporting, we've seen a steady increase in chlamydia cases. We've also had better test technology and national guidelines that have gone into effect recommending pretty routine screening for young women in particular. And so women under the age of 25, the recommendation is at least annual screening for if you're sexually active. And so chlamydia is interesting because it usually doesn't cause any symptoms. And in fact, none of these STDs, the way that they transmit so well in populations is because they don't cause a lot of symptoms. People don't know they're infected. They don't know that they need to go to the doctor to get treated. And so screening, which is testing in the absence of symptoms, becomes really, really important. And for people to be aware that if they have any risk factors at all, if they have more than one partner or their partner has more than one partner, that they need to think about the possibility that they have come into contact with one of these bacterial STDs. And they are all treatable with antibiotics. It's the great news. There's tests that are very easily available and treatments that are very effective.
But are some of these showing resistance to antibiotics as time goes on?
You know, that's a really important concern, and it has been a major concern for gonorrhea. Gonorrhea we used to treat with penicillin when penicillin first came out, and it developed resistance fairly quickly and is still very highly resistant to penicillin. And over the years, the more antibiotics we've thrown at gonorrhea, the more it's been able to change its genetic makeup to resist these antibiotics. We're down to our last class of drugs, the cephalosporins, to treat gonorrhea, and there have been cases reported just recently. There was one in the United Kingdom and a couple out of Australia where folks had highly resistant isolates. And I think the case in the UK, the individual had to be hospitalized and treated with IV antibiotics to eliminate the infection. And so it is a major concern for gonorrhea in particular. And luckily, we have not seen resistance develop in either chlamydia or syphilis.
So, Dr. Bauer, if people don't show symptoms, I mean, are there ever any, I mean, syphilis aside, are there ever any indications that they have of sexually transmitted disease?
Oh, absolutely. So some people do develop symptoms, and so each of these different infections is characterized by different symptoms in males and females. And so, for example, chlamydia and gonorrhea, they are similar in that they can cause inflammation and pain and discharge from the urethra, discharge from the vagina. They can lead to upper tract infection or pelvic inflammatory disease. And gonorrhea can actually get into the blood and cause a blood poisoning, essentially infection in the blood, and can be very serious. And so those are some of the symptoms of chlamydia and gonorrhea. Syphilis is, historically, it's been called the great imitator, and it manifests itself in so many unusual ways that it's often difficult to tell specifically if somebody has syphilis. And so when somebody's initially infected, they might develop an ulcer or what's called a chancre, and that might be in a genital area, it might be in the mouth. They're always painless, and so that can be confusing to people, and if they're internal, folks may not even be aware that they're there. And then it'll go away without treatment. And then other symptoms may develop weeks later. So you may have a rash or hair loss or these soft warts called condyloma telata that develop. And it infects soft tissue. And those infections seem to look different in different people and manifest in lots of different ways. And so that's another challenge, I think, too. A lot of providers, if they haven't seen syphilis in a number of years, or maybe they've never seen it because they've trained in an era where there just weren't many people infected, these infections often go undiagnosed. And so unless it's really on providers' radar to say, oh, maybe this person has syphilis, or maybe I ought to screen this person because they have some risk factors, a lot of infections could be missed that way.
STDs sharply on the rise in California. Not the only place that's happening, though, but we're talking to California right now in the person of Dr. Heidi Bauer, the control branch chief of the STD control branch at the California Department of Public Health. Questions or comments from you, welcome here on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. The idea of early syphilis, you'd mentioned early in the program about children being born with syphilis. Is this the issue?
One of the manifestations or one of the negative impacts of syphilis is when it's transmitted from mother to child. And so just like a number of other communicable diseases, the actual bacteria can be transmitted from the mother's blood, if she's untreated, through the placenta and into the fetus. And we saw 30 stillbirths reported last year. And those are situations where the infection is just overwhelming and ends up taking the life of the fetus. And so we've seen stillborn fetal deaths. We've seen deaths happen, you know, even after the baby's born alive. So these can be devastating, incredibly serious infections. And those babies who don't die, some of them will end up with permanent disabilities, either mental disabilities or soft tissue damage or bone damage. There's a number of complications that are associated with getting syphilis in utero. And that is entirely, I'll just mention, all of these are entirely preventable, but in particular syphilis in pregnancy, it's a law in California that all pregnant women at their first prenatal visit need to be tested for syphilis. And many counties now have instituted multiple screening in pregnancy so that even if the first test is negative, they're tested again because there's a risk of becoming infected during pregnancy. And so many of the counties that have had high rates of syphilis in pregnant women are now recommending what's called third trimester and delivery screening. If the mom is treated early enough in pregnancy, you can actually prevent the infection of the fetus and prevent congenital syphilis entirely.
You had mentioned earlier that some of the increase is due to better detection, more screening, that sort of thing. But obviously some of this is just that it's happening more. And so, I mean, can we assume that there's less use of condoms or some other driver for such a sharp rise in STDs in California?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And we're looking at lots of different sources of data to try to understand exactly what is behind some of these increases. And there is evidence that folks are using condoms less frequently, different data from different populations. To some extent, adolescents, when they're asked about the last time they had sex, there's a lower percentage that report using condoms. There may be access issues for youth in terms of having to purchase condoms, having to go into stores and ask for condoms. There are some real barriers for youth. And the California Department of Public Health did a nice survey, a Healthy Stores, Healthy Communities survey, where they looked at the availability of condoms in retail establishments and found that, you know, almost half, if they're available, are locked up behind cabinets. And so this creates some real challenges for people who want to use condoms and want to have access to condoms. And we have a program in a few of our counties where folks can go online and discreetly request free condoms and information about testing to be delivered to their homes. And so trying to figure out ways to overcome some of those challenges and barriers. Also, data in gay and bisexual men have found that because of the HIV prevention strategies have been so successful and created such a sense of comfort around reducing HIV risk, I think there some of that is also driving lower condom use in those populations.
So the fact that people no longer fear HIV as a death sentence can change behavior there.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have excellent treatments available that create viral suppression, which reduces the risk of transmitting HIV. And there's also medication now that folks who are HIV negative can take every day and prevent themselves from getting HIV, even if they're exposed. And so there have just been some remarkable achievements around HIV prevention. And I think, you know, one of the things that is offset is the STD rates. And yet we have, as I said, lots of great diagnostic tests and treatment tools, and we have really what we need to address this issue. It's just a matter of getting folks into their provider offices and making sure that those tests get done.
We are again talking to Dr. Heidi Bauer, the STD Control Branch Chief at the California Department of Public Health, about STDs on the rise in California. You're welcome to join us at 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Jean in Winston. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. My question is, what other sociological correlates do you find besides the urban-rural, like income level, ethnicity, church going?
Let's throw gender in there, too, because there is one of those.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's an important thing. Yeah, so I'd just be interested in that.
Yeah, okay. Good question. Thanks for that, Jean. So Dr. Bauer, how does that break down on different portions of the population?
Yeah, well, we collect some of those variables on the cases that are reported. And then some of those variables we don't collect, but research is published in this area that helps to answer some of these questions. And so there are disparities in terms of who is more affected by STDs than other folks. And in terms of the demographic data that we collect on cases, one of the things that we're able to assess is the rates among race ethnic groups. And we do see disparities there in California for all three of the STDs, and in particular rates among African Americans and often Latino Hispanic populations are higher than white and Asian populations. I mentioned some of the age disparities. The gender disparities, chlamydia is higher in females, and that's probably driven by some of the differences in access to care and testing. And conversely, gonorrhea rates are higher in males, and we think that is also largely driven by, again, bisexual men, and in particular in urban areas. And so there's different disparities, much higher rates of syphilis among males, because for the last 15 years it's been an epidemic predominantly among gay and bisexual men, and it's really only been in the last 5 years that we've started to see the increases in females and heterosexual populations. And then there's lots of literature out there on socioeconomic status and education levels and income levels, and all of those things tend to correlate fairly well with STD rates, and so we see higher rates. And that, we think, is largely related to access to care and access to information and prevention tools is different for different populations. And so if folks aren't able to go into their providers and get tested and treated, then they're more likely to carry these infections for longer and transmit to other people. And so those are some of the real gaps in terms of why those disparities exist.
So is there an additional concern when you see things like a syphilis rise in rural areas because of the fact that caregivers are few and far between?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, people have to drive further to get to a provider. And I think there are lots of challenges in rural areas in linking people to services. And I don't know the landscape in all of the counties in Northern California, but I know a few instances where I've worked with individuals just trying to find a pharmacy within driving distance that could order a medication and get it to the clinic and get somebody treated. And it's a lot to go through for an infection that is as common as gonorrhea or syphilis. And so absolutely there are real challenges in rural areas.
Another call here with a question from Howard in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Dr. Heidi Bauer at the California Department of Public Health.
I'm wondering if one of the reasons for the increase in the quantity of STD cases may be because some STDs like syphilis may have developed an immunity to antibiotics, and so they're resistant to antibiotic treatment.
Mm-hmm. We did talk about that a bit already. Was that primarily with gonorrhea that was the concern, Heidi?
Yeah, that was gonorrhea that we worry about resistance. And luckily, we have had some treatment failures in California, but we have not had treatment failures to the first line treatment. And so far, so good. But I think we are expecting, the evolution of drug resistant gonorrhea. And yeah, I think the caller also brings up the possibility of there just being higher susceptibility in the population with rates so low. And I think that's another consideration of why you have increases in infections, because there's just more people who are susceptible to that infection.
So in a time when you've got sexually transmitted diseases rising sharply and a time of very fragmented media, how do you go about putting out messages that you hope reach the people who most need to see them about trying to make yourself safe? And I noticed the hashtag Treat Me Right with some of the campaigns coming out of CDPH.
Yeah, so CDC actually developed the Treat Me Right campaign, and I think they're taking kind of a rights framework, which is popular in the media for other kinds of social issues. And then we grabbed onto that and have tried to amplify those messages. But nowadays we try to use social media tools like Facebook and Twitter and other innovative ways to get those messages out, in addition to, you know, posting things on the website. And we did have a lot of media attention, which is also a great way to get information out, because lots of people listen to the radio and read newspapers, and all of those different strategies come into play in terms of making sure that everyone is aware and everyone can think about maybe how they can benefit from additional testing, or their kids or their friends, and really get some of those conversations going.
So is that the point to leave with? We have just a few seconds left here, that if you think there's a possibility you might have an STD, you should get checked for one?
Absolutely.
All right, then. Were there some quiet years in the STD control branch?
I'm sorry, what?
Were there some quiet years in the STD control branch?
Not since I started.
How long has that been?
I've been in this position for about 6 years now, and then I've been with the program since around 1999, and it seems like rates started going up right around then.
All right, busy years. Dr. Heidi Bauer is the chief of the STD control branch at the California Department of Public Health. Thank you so much for joining us today on The Exchange.